Oh, just a quick warning that I don't know what to warn about because we are scrambling, rambling, lost. So brace yourselves. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to A Hopeless Endeavor, a Joanna Newsom podcast. My name is Sam.
My name is Nikki, and I can barely get those words out because, you guys, if we have had, if there's an emergency in the Joanna Newsom world, it is emergency time, and I know we're late, but how do we even talk about this? What do we do?
So, I am looking at a document called What the Fuck is Happening? And the reason that we are looking at this document is because our collective dreams came true last week, and Fleet Foxes provided the venue, the stage, the opportunity, the means, the people, the community for the High Priestess of Acoustic Music, Joanna Newsom herself, to bring us new songs.
We have new music, you guys. Okay, wait, hang on. I'm going to insert like a really high-tech effect here. Okay, so now that that's sufficiently out of the way.
The only time we've ever involved sound effects.
We have new motherfucking music, and it's so good, if I'm not jumping the gun, which I'm not. It's so fucking good. It's so good.
Okay, let's breathe out.
Let's breathe out. I can't just be freaking out into the microphone for the next 2 hours.
You can.
Like, it's going to be hard.
You can. It's fine.
Okay.
All right. So there were rumors for a little while that this was happening. And bless Nikki's heart, she has been a believer this entire time, and I have very much been a skeptic. So as the spring recital was getting closer, Nikki would message me and say, like, in all caps, like, is this happening? Is this what's going on? And then, you know, send me screenshots of the evidence or whatever. And I would say, I don't know. Could be anyone. I don't know.
For me, the tipping point of the evidence, because there was rumors that there were people that were like, I'm in tech and like I heard it's her. They were like, just like, you know, my friend Audrey, they thought that they had some inside information about it. There was just like rumors here and there. And then the thing that like pushed me over the edge was that someone posted that they saw Emily Newsom at the concert. And I was like, that's it. That their Emily Newsom could just be a random Fleet Foxes fan. But, probably it's because her sister's gonna play.
It was Emily Newsom, and then it was Andy
Samberg, yeah.
And then it was also the person on Reddit who posted the merch that was covered until 9 p.m. Yeah. And then it was, so the show starts happening, people are arriving. We're not in LA. Neither of us are in LA. We didn't fly to LA. I've seen
like idiots.
I've seen them recently. I was like, I can't pick up and fly to LA. That's ridiculous. Like, I live in Canada. That's not a choice I can make. But then the evidence was piling up, and it was so fun to be part of this community and be on Discord and Facebook and be getting Instagram DMs with evidence and just like have all of us lose our collective minds together.
That was so nice.
It was so fun. And I was home alone. I was having a blast. Like, I was, poor Nikki's trying to put her baby to bed, and I'm like calling her and sending her links, and like people are posting like, I hear a harp being tuned.
Yeah,
that's
right. I see
the outline of the harp on the stage. Like, it has to be her. It has to be her. And I was still like, I don't know. Like, like, I'll believe it when I see it. But then it just happened.
Oh, you guys, it happened. We were like counting down the seconds to, it was 8 o'clock, mm-hmm, showtime, California time. And then it happened. We're like, wait, we don't have a live stream of this event. And like people were so sweet and like tried to do it, but basically it didn't work. So we were just, I don't even know what the word is. But the live stream did work.
For the minute that he introduced her, and then she came out on stage, and that
started to play.
What a moment to like be able to share with everyone, like
totally
to all the people who streamed, even for 30 seconds or whatever. There was that one stream that got stuck on one part of the song, and I just kept listening to the same part of the.
Me too.
I don't think it was Little Hands. I don't remember.
I think it was The Bombs Are Whistling. It was the first one. And it was like where she says, like, it's not my fault. Or it ain't your fault that I've got no skin or something like that.
Yes.
And that tiny little bit just kept replaying. And I think like you, me, and like the entire Facebook group were just like, we got 30, like half a second of a song that we're so excited about right now.
Yeah. What a like incredible evening. And I like was sitting at home, like, you know, it's still like wrapped in a blanket. I had my computer out, and the person who like, it was so special to be able to like have her come on stage. And I was sitting in my apartment, like cheering and screaming and just like, it is happening. Like, I'm sorry. I didn't believe it is happening. Like, what an incredible thing to be a part of.
Exactly. What an incredible thing to be a part of. And like, what a moment of just like genuine ecstasy that was shared between so many people. We've been talking about the potential new album for forever. Lots of us thought that like it very well could never happen. It's been so long. And oh my God, like it happened. Like it was just like such a gift from the universe, such a gift from Joanna that like, I don't know. It was just, it was so fucking delightful. I have still not come down from this high, and I hope that this high will last another 4 years or whatever, however long until she releases until the next one.
Yeah, what a collective joy. Like, I was so grateful for technology in that moment, because in what universe are we able to be present
at a moment like that? Not even just for the people who were streaming, although God, angels for the people who were trying to stream, but like the people who like made a point to go on Facebook or Reddit and like just update people that they knew were like waiting with bated breath, just like felt so grateful to everybody and so part of some community, which is sort of a rare feeling these days given the state of the world and the reclusiveness, post-pandemic reclusiveness. So oh my god, hi guys, thank you for being here. Oh, we love you.
We couldn't record immediately either because we were losing our minds.
We were losing our minds, and it happened at like quite an inopportune time, given that like I had 2 days to finish my dissertation that I've been working on for fucking years now. I was due in 2 days, and I'm a procrastinator, so I had some work to do. So I was like furiously writing that and being like, don't listen to Joanna, don't listen to Joanna. My partner was like, Nikki, don't listen to Joanna, you need to finish. I'm like, I know, but she just released new music. Like, what am I supposed to do?
And I got all of my wisdom teeth out the next day. So recording was not an option quite yet.
I didn't know if you wanted to share that, so I didn't for you. But exactly, Sam was very indisposed too. So even if we wanted to, we just like couldn't. So we're here as soon as we could be here. And we hope we didn't, you know, make anyone lose their minds waiting.
And it's just been so cool. Like, thank you so much to whoever organized the like shared Google Doc, Joanna Spring Recital 2023, because that has been so fun to just like, even, I don't know how lame that is, to like sit and watch and like watch the edits and note what everyone's hearing. Like, that's the most fun for me right now, is to listen to the recordings and try and figure out what exactly she's saying. I've done a lot less of like, what do you think is actually going on in this song? And a lot more of like, what is this song? Yeah.
Also, like, I am a person who has really bad hearing, just generally, but like, I don't know if there's something that this corresponds to, but I am so bad at hearing anything that's happening during a live show, like in person or on a recording. When people speak into a microphone and it's like the like echoey concert sound, I can never understand anything. Like, never mind, like lyrics, absolutely not. But I can't even understand things that people are saying in between the lyrics. It's just my hearing doesn't let me do that. And so I am beyond flabbergasted at people's ability to have transcribed like most of the words to these songs. It's incredible. And I know that that takes so much work. It must take them so long. So we are eternally grateful to the people who are in there doing that work.
A lot. Oh, Nikki's frozen for a second. Let's just let her come back to earth here. Oh no, it's my fault.
Uh-oh, Sam has frozen on me.
Hold on, Nikki. I'm coming back. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming.
Hello?
Hi, sorry.
No worries. Welcome back. I was just thanking the people who write the lyrics because I think that's an amazing skill that I don't have.
It is. And it, there's also a certain bias that I notice in myself when I'm reading what other people have transcribed. It's hard to hear something different if you're looking at something someone else has already written. So to the people making all of those edits, thank you. So cool. So fun. And not only were we blessed with new music, we were also blessed with, and this makes me feel like Michael Hicks is part of the plot here somehow, 3 new Michael Hicks articles. So Michael Hicks, we've referenced a million zillion times, most recently in Diver's Stuff, because there are articles about Waltz and Seb Konikin and we haven't gotten there yet, but The Things I Say and...
we've gotten to The Things I Say.
Sorry. All of these articles are incredible. So not only do we get new music, we have articles about new music immediately. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that Michael Hicks had written one of the new articles before the new music even came out. Like, it was just like a serendipitous timing. And I'm pretty sure that like then the new music came out and then he dropped 2 more, I think. Right?
So the first article was March 21st, and it was about time as a symptom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So what's going on, Michael Hicks? What do you know?
What do you know, Michael Hicks?
These articles are some of my favorites.
Yeah, they're great. So we have at least something to start with. So we don't really know what we're doing here. Like, the plan is to freak out for a bit about the new music because it's just such an eventful, momentous occasion. But we were thinking, like, we were thinking that we are going to give a very tentative, like, first impressions recording episode on... maybe all of the new songs, maybe just one of them. We might put them on Patreon. We might keep them here. Because, like, another thing that I understand from you guys is that, like, not everybody wants to know what other people's thoughts and opinions are about it before they listen to it for themselves, which is totally understandable.
We also have a number of people who haven't listened yet.
Yes, yeah.
Which I totally understand. That's something my partner has said. It's like, why are you listening to all these grainy-ass recordings of songs that are really hard to hear? Like, wait for the album. But the problem is we don't know when the album is coming.
Yeah, and like, so, I don't have – are you kidding me with willpower? I don't have the
– But so I asked on Instagram yesterday, because I think I'm hooked on that sense of community, what are your thoughts and feelings about the new songs? And so many people have said, like, either I haven't listened to all of them, like, I'm savoring them, I'm taking my time, or I can't bring myself to listen to them until they're on an album. Can I read some of these thoughts and feelings from Instagram?
Absolutely.
They make me so happy. So someone just said, it feels so fresh and juicy, like a loving big sister to other music. No Wonder is my favorite song at the moment. Obsessed, The Arrogant is devastating. Someone just said, canary, 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 canary.
And just by the way, you guys, in case you're not like addicted to the shitposting group like Sam and I have been recently, We know the names of these songs because someone posted a set list. And yes. So we know the order in which they were played and we know what the set list says. So that's where we're getting these names from.
Maybe we should say, so what did she play? Nikki,
what are the songs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first is called Bombs Are Whistling. The second is called Marie at the Mill. The third is called Little Hand. The fourth is called The Air Again. And the fifth is called No Wonder. Five new songs.
And then she bookended those between Go Long and Sawdust and Diamonds.
Which is just beautiful.
And then did like Good Intentions with Robin. And they did Fleet Fox's song Blue Spotted Tail.
One notable thing about those two bookends is that in Go Long, the song that she started with, she changed a problematic lyric, a racist lyric, to insincere. Mm-hmm. So all sentiments, insincere and half-baked is the new lyric, which we love.
Which we love and which is, I think, an easy switch to make.
Totally, yeah. I don't think you're missing out on any of the content, and it's not racist, so that's the most important part. Mm-hmm. But yeah, good on her. I think it's really a step in the right direction when artists can sort of reevaluate their work with, given the insights that have come from the passage of time, and just change it. Like, it's not set in stone.
And it really makes me wonder what made her choose Go Long and Sawdust and Diamonds.
I had heard a rumor that Go Long was one of Robin Pecknold, the front person for Fleet Foxes, that it was one of his favorite songs. Aww. But I don't know. I don't know if that has anything to do with
it. Did you see the video of Robin, like, having a fucking time listening to the new music?
He was just bopping back and forth sort of in the wings of the stage. Yeah, that was great.
Okay, I also wanted, we're just hopping all over the place here. I also wanted to read Robin's perspective. This is from, so there were two Pitchfork articles written. One of them is incredible because it's a perspective of, just let me open the link here.
Did I interrupt you too? Did you want to read more Instagram reactions?
Oh yeah, we can go back to that.
Okay.
those exist. So we have two Pitchfork articles. One of them is called Witnessing Joanna Newsom's Surprise New Era. And it's a really lovely article because it's from the perspective of a fan. They talk about the shitposting group. They talk about the ridiculousness that happens there and how the rumors kind of built on each other, how they hastily tried to get tickets and then showed up for the spring recital. So that's a really lovely article. And then there's one where we get some really lovely information from Robin Pecknold of Fleet Foxes. That one's called Joanna Newsom Plays for Show Since 2020 as Fleet Foxes Surprise Opener. And I just love this background detail here. And so Robin writes, late last fall, Joanna asked me if we had any shows in Los Angeles coming up that she could drop in on as a surprise opener to test out some new songs. We didn't have anything planned until August at the Hollywood Bowl with my morning jacket, but this is the greatest living songwriter we're talking about. Maybe the best musician since, like, J.S. Bach. So me and the Fleet Foxes team spent the last few months planning this for her. The venue needed to be small enough that it would sell out right away as Fleet Foxes' only show, regal enough to deserve a Joanna appearance, and allowing of us to be on site for multiple days of both rehearsal and the construction of the elaborate flower arrangements surrounding the stage and venue. I came up with the spring recital conceit just to deflect attention from the special guest part, and I asked my dad and Daniel Rawson to be involved, giving it a kind of last waltz feeling, an impression that anyone might show up. We had custom merchandise made. Our collaborators, the Westerlies, made horn arrangements for Joanna off of voice memos. My brother filmed the event. I'm so lucky and grateful that the touring organization we've built was able to gracefully accommodate this request of hers and make it the best it could possibly be. Something really special for the 1,200 devoted people who trusted us when buying tickets. Putting this show together was the honor of my lifetime. Thank you, Joanna.
It's so sweet. It is so fucking sweet.
Yeah.
I love how he, like you can just feel that he has like a genuine and sincere admiration and respect for her work in a way that sets her apart from other artists, I think. And like you can see that not only in his really kind and thoughtful words about her, but also in the fact that he's willing to put an entire show together to give her this opportunity to showcase some of her new songs or to feel them out or whatever the purpose was. Like, I think you can just feel his respect for her.
Yeah, it's just so lovely.
It is. Totally is. It was the honor of his lifetime. That's so sweet.
It is. It's just artists supporting artists, right? People, like, that's what's so cool about all of this is it's music that's bringing us all together, right? Like, it's not necessarily Joanna Newsom as a person, though we love her so very much, but it's the community that she's built and the music that she's made that we're all losing our minds over.
Yeah. Yeah. It's her art.
It's her art.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. So where do we go from here?
Great question. Okay, let's look back. What are you guys feeling? Someone said, love the outro of Marie in the Mill. Someone else said, too overwhelmed to have actual thoughts and our feelings beyond woo. someone else said, beautiful, haunting, majestic. The ending of No Wonder has my eyes properly swollen. Someone else said, waiting to listen to the album first. Oh my God, it's torture. Like, yeah, I feel that. Someone else said, I'm rationing them, which I get too.
Yeah, totally understand that.
I've built them up so much in my mind. So. No, another canary.
What my partner has been doing around the house since last week, just because I told him about that one part. Because it's so crazy. She whispers it. Like, it's crazy. We'll get to it.
Yeah, the narrators in that song are going to be all over the place. That was the first thing I thought when I heard it was like, not only are we getting this like whisper voice, but we're getting a spoken voice and a sung voice. Like, oh boy.
Watch out. Yeah.
Someone else said, love how laid back and sort of silly they are.
Oh my gosh. Okay. What is your first? What are your first impressions sound like? What song stuck out to you most? What are you feeling about the new collection of songs?
So I lost my mind at the Go Long outro at first, because it was something I hadn't heard before. It was like extra special and beautiful. And then what? I think my first reaction with all of her new music is to feel a little weird because it's like a pair of shoes that you know but don't quite fit or something. Yeah. So you really want to wear them right away, but you're like, oh, but like I don't no. So I love it, but I think my first reaction is always like, oh, that's weird. Like,
yeah. I know what you mean. I felt that way for Divers and for Have One on Me when I first listened to them. Yeah, I love your analogy with shoes that you're like, you know they're for you. You're just like, oh, like unexpected. You know you'll like it's love different.
Them. It's unexpected. Yeah. It's different. Yeah. But you know, that's exactly it. You know you'll buy in.
Yeah.
Which is comforting, but it's also like, yeah. What about you? What was your first reaction?
My first reaction was just love, love, love. Like, I don't know. I am so into, I mean, particularly The Air Again stood out for me because it just sounded so emotional and so, she has several moments throughout the concert and I need to like do a closer listen to everything. I've listened to The Air Again by far the most times, but there are several moments throughout different songs that she does this like very fast singing that like I cannot get enough of. It reminds me of like the tempo and the pace of the words that are coming out of her mouth in Leaving the City. It's just like this very rapid, like overwhelming in the best way where I'm just like, it feels so emotive to me. And so all those moments in the different songs in which they appear on this, on these new songs, captivate me right away. Like, I'm immediately sold for them. And then, yeah, the slower stuff is the stuff that takes me a beat to get into, maybe. But yeah, my first impressions are The Air Again is just fucking delightful. And then No Wonder I am in love with too. The other ones I haven't given as close attention to, I of course will. It's just, as I said, dissertation and stuff. So we're working our way through them. But yeah, right now those two are just breaking me in a good way. But yeah, I also love the other three songs too. Like, it just feels like there's just so much potential for me to obsess over all of them. So I was thrilled, to say the least.
It's also different to listen to them on like a grainy YouTube recording, right? Like, you don't. And this also, I'm sure, isn't the final iteration of them. Someone, right. One of the responses was like, I don't want to get too attached to these songs because I know that they'll change. And like, yeah, they probably will.
Mm-hmm. I'm just, I totally agree with that. And I've had that feeling before where you get like really attached and then on the album it appears like in a much more ornate, like layered arrangement. And I've had the reaction before where I've been like, no, thank you. Like, I just want the person on stage with one instrument and that's it.
Yeah.
But also, I'm just so stoked to hear these in any form right now. I don't even care if it's a fucking audio, like a voice memo on her phone. I want to hear that pocket. Shit.
Oh, another thing I wanted to say was, one of the things that was so special about those recordings was that you got to hear people's real-time reactions. Yeah. So on some of them, there was this one guy who just kept saying, what did he say? It wasn't like, you go, Joanna, or he would, what was it that he was saying? Like, you got this, or like, you know it, or something like that. And I was like, she does know it. Lola has joined us. Hi, Lola. Lola has
joined us.
Hi. I see her looking up here. Salut.
Bonjour.
Hi, baby.
Bonjour.
Oh my goodness. Look at her curly hair.
Sorry for that interruption.
Oh my God. Cutest interruption. Yeah. So hearing people's real-time reactions to what was happening was so cool. And I loved hearing it. I loved whoever was saying, like, you got this, or whatever it was. That would be my reaction too.
She, I guess, too, she made a joke where she was like, I can't hear shit with my terrible hearing and concert audio. But apparently she said something like, okay, like, gonna leave again for another 27 years. Bye. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, hearing people is so cool. And I can't imagine the, like, energy of being in that concert hall while that was happening. Like,
yeah.
I could feel this like palpable, not tension, but like, yeah, just like energy from like where I was sitting. There was so much excitement. Like, everybody was just like holding their breath. And then it was her, and it was just, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. And the energy of like the frantic energy that I had hopping between Discord and whatever and Instagram and like sending you a link and sending Alicia a link and being like who has it, what's happening, and that like,
yeah,
community, especially on Discord, because it was moving so fast. Like,
oh my God,
it's just like
I don't know how to work Discord, guys, so like I had to rely on Sam. I was like, Sam, just like send me the most important things from there because I can't do it. And so she was just like keeping me posted with like screenshots. We had like somebody had posted a picture of the stage in which you could see the most blurry set list ever. And she was like sending me like these zoomed in pictures of the set list. We were trying to read what the fuck it said.
I showed that picture to my partner. I was like, it was like a person sitting way the fuck back. before the show had ended. And I was like, look, look, these are new songs. Look, like there's no shapes that look like letters.
Like, it's true. It was like blur shadows that like did not resemble letters. Although like,
that one's go long.
Yeah, exactly. We knew the first was go long. Exactly. And even when she played go long, I mean, you talked about the end there and like feeling really moved by the end part. But like even just there was something so special, even just hearing her play this song that we've heard her play live a million times, like on recordings.
It's been
and stuff.
So long.
Yeah.
And that's what that's so I was watching the YouTube videos just all got taken down, apparently. I see. But I was watching them on the train on the way here. And even just watching her hands for the air again, I was like, I don't do enough of like watching her perform live because there's something so special about that that colors the music so much. Like her hand over hand.
Going over. Right.
I was like.
She's like crossing her arms and playing. It's bonkers. That's another thing is that I feel like we need to mention like. Neither of us are musical enough to know what's going on, but just even as noobs.
Hello, baby. Sava.
Even as noobs, you can just feel in your bones, like, the level of musicality is absurd with the new songs. The piano playing on the air again, just out of control. Like, it's so impressive what she's doing.
It is.
I can't wait to just, like, high quality blast that and feel it in my bones.
Yeah, I can't wait for all of it. I can't wait to see. I mean, I have so many questions. I can't wait to see like what the rest of the album looks like and sounds like, what the accompanying art like, how the other songs might fit in with what we already have. I mean, one of the things I immediately noticed too was how familiar some of the themes are. Like how some of the, like repeating and circular cyclical themes are happening for sure, especially musically.
Totally, though. I noticed that too, and I was like, it's hard. We're so immersed in Divers right now that it's hard to like extricate ourselves from that. And I was trying to identify a theme across these new songs, and like. I can't quite get my finger on any one theme that all of them share other than these big themes of like birth and life and death, which might be the theme. Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know.
Well, and like one of the things that people have been talking about is that the Aragon might have a lot to do with her own neighborhood and the history of her neighborhood. And I was like, that makes so much sense. We've been in our houses for the last 3 years, not leaving, not doing very much outside of that. So it makes so much sense to me that this new music might be rooted in something really close to home.
Yeah, because she's had to be there. Might as well research what the fuck is going on. Yeah.
What else?
Oh, what else? What else? Just joy. Just such joy. I'm just so happy.
I know one of the lovely themes that came out of this week too was just everyone saying how blessed we all are. And I don't think anyone meant it in the context of a religious blessing, but just like this outpouring of gratitude for the music and the art and the community and the sharing of resources. Like this shared Google Doc is one of my favorite things to ever exist.
Me
too. The organization and like the collaborative nature. And in what universe? I have never added to a Google Doc for a single artist other than her. Like,
I've never seen another Google Doc.
It's like
Doc.
A class project, right? Like,
seriously, like it is like a class project. I love the like respectful commenting to each other and replying and like the support being like, oh, that's like a good idea, but what about this? Like, it's so, it feeds my soul. It's just such a nice community of people. And I just, we all are drawn together because we love the art of this person, this fucking genius person, Joanna. And yeah, it's just great. I'm rolling.
What next? What do we do?
I don't know what we do. So maybe we should just talk about the air again, and then we can figure out what to do with the episode later. Maybe the, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
So why do we want to talk about the air again first?
Oh, I thought it was just because that's what we had decided to do. Like, I have no... And because there was a Michael Hicks article about it, so there was, like, some launching
that
point.
Helps for sure. Yeah. That yeah. helps for sure. Yeah, we're not intentionally being biased towards any of these songs. Right. The two Michael Hicks articles that exist cover Marie at the Mill and The Air Again. So I think that's a good place to start because we have someone else who has done some considerable research.
Yes. And then also for me, it's just like the one that I just personally feel most compelled to figure out what's going on, or at least, you know, like this is all the most tentative thing in the world. I'm going to say this 17 times, but like it's the most tentative thing in the world. Like we don't even know if the words are right. Never mind if the themes are right. There is a ton that we're going to be missing. We're going to for sure oversimplify. And like these warnings apply to every episode of our little podcast here, but like, oh my God, particularly so with this. I really don't want to make any blunders where Joanna's going to be like, it is not called The Diver's Wife. That crucially changes the meaning. It is called Divers. Like, I don't want any analogous blunders on our part. So, like, tentative. We apologize if we get things wrong. We are going to try our best just because we want to feed into slash be a part of the this collective yeah. excitement that there is. And we get if you want to leave here before we like get into our analysis of the song. I think next week we'll probably be back with poor same old man. We've neglected
yeah, apologies
same old man.
To same old man. Yeah. We don't mean to leave you hanging no, out in the dust.
We're coming back for you, same old man. Don't worry. And then maybe we'll just put the other new analyses up on our Patreon, maybe, perhaps. Does that sound
yeah.
good? Okay. Does that sound good, Sam?
I think that sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're doing what we can. We didn't want to, it felt wrong to keep talking about Divers when there was so much, that was happening in this.
Exactly.
In this world right now.
Exactly. Okay. So here's the thing about The Air Again.
Uh-huh.
I love it. Like so much. Like so much. I think it's about, my tentative thoughts are that it's about a gay love story.
Mm.
And fucking like misogyny revenge murder. I think that's what my vibes are.
It's an incredible theory. I haven't spent enough time with it to have such a substantial outlook yet.
Like, do you want to do that before we record, or do you want? Are you fine? Just
no. Talking? Let's okay, yeah. Let's okay. just talk about what we have now.
Okay. I don't want to like taint anything for you if you were wanting to
no.
go on your own. Okay.
So the first thing I really love from this Michael Hicks article, which is called "Understanding Joanna Newsom's The Air Again," is this idea that oops, there goes my ring. Minds are a search, a labyrinth, a danger, a discovery, and a descent down the rabbit hole at times. Sometimes you strike gold and sometimes you come up empty-handed. I think this is like an analogy for the entire song might make sense to me right now.
Yeah, because like just bare bones basics, there are several references to minds in this song. So like if you haven't had a chance to look at the lyrics yet, there's... She references mines and gold and okay, one second. Sorry. So she references mines and gold and these counties that are especially known for their mines in California. And so that's where Michael Hicks is starting from, is like that she appears to make these specific references to things like Lake Adair and Amador County and the Lonesome Willow Mine. And we think that she refers to, in the starting line, which is June of 78, to a big fire that had happened in the mining community there.
Mm-hmm. And Michael Hicks links to an article for that fire,
cool.
which I have. Oh, my God. It's horrifying. So I'm going to read just this newspaper article from Monday, August 28th, 1922. Miners entombed, 75 cut off by fire in noted Argonaut gold mine. And then the article is quite short. And it says, so this is happening in Jackson, California. 75 men entombed in the famous Argonaut gold mine below the 3,500-foot level by fire, which broke out in the main shaft shortly after midnight, were still in the mine at 7:30 o'clock this morning. The cause of the fire was not known early yesterday, and the officials of the mine working as leaders of rescue party could not be interviewed. But from what I understand, and I don't remember what I read, there's a fire in the mine shaft. There are people stuck below it.
Yes. So I think that this, yeah, that's right. Because I remember reading from the Hicks article, like this very horrific thing where like they find, like they've been, they like try to get down to that tomb for days, into the mine for days.
I think
days.
It's like 20 something days. Where did I read this now?
And then they get down there and everyone's dead. And there's like messages written on the wall because people were
poisoned. And they had died within hours.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I think that fire is a different fire actually from the one being referenced in the first line. Because if I am looking at the right thing, that fire happened in the early 1900s. Is that right? 1922?
This was 1920 something, yeah.
Yeah.
June of 78.
June of 78. Okay. So I think it's 1878 that she's referring to, I think. And then just from the fucking super helpful comments here on the Google Doc. So Felipe said, there was a fire in Amador County in June of 1878 that destroyed most of the town. So a fire in this, like, ostensibly just a mining town. But I have not yet connected the pieces as to how that could be related to the rest of the song, because as far as I can tell, a fire doesn't come up again. But there are a lot of themes of like destruction and death, so maybe it's just sort of a setting the scene for that. I don't know, we'll have to see.
Yeah,
so there's that. The reason I was thinking that, so Alexis gave me permission to use her name. But the reason I was thinking that this is potentially a love story between two women is because the narrator of this song sings to somebody called Maggie. And she says, I loved my Maggie so. And I was thinking like, oh, maybe the narrator then is male. I mean, or maybe it's a love story between women, or maybe it's a, the options. Either it's a romantic love story between women, or the narrator is a male, or it's a platonic love story between women. But I don't think that the narrator is male, because in this like beautiful fucking centering, putting to the forefront of gender dynamics, which like, oh my God, you're always going to get me if you do this. But she says, women here ain't, well, this is, we hope what she says. This is our best attempt at figuring out what she says so far. But she has this beautiful line, women here ain't ever glad, not even up in Nevada, coming back to share her wedding cake. Women here ain't ever free, never, never left. We never leave. We'd never last, we never asked, we never stake a claim or complain or take. So that positions, I think, the narrator as being a woman. And so that makes me so happy that it's either this romantic love story or perhaps platonic love story. between women. Just that so down with those vibes, Joanna. Thank you for this. Centering of women. Are you skeptical?
I'm not skeptical at all. Okay. My mind is just blown.
Yay!
I is that funny?
She's down.
I love. So now I'm thinking, as you talk about those themes, I'm wondering how the idea of a canary in a coal mine ties into all of that. Like, right. What?
Do you want to explain to people, just in case people are unfamiliar, the stuff that Michael Hicks goes over about canaries and coal mines and, like, what that symbolism might be?
So Michael Hicks says, the proximity of a canary to mining, however, evokes the expression canary in the coal mine. The phrase is used to describe an early warning signal or foreboding of bad things to come. It comes from the literal use of canaries to detect poisonous gases down in a mine. And then this is a quote from a Smithsonian article. Canaries, like other birds, are good early detectors of carbon monoxide because they're vulnerable to airborne poisons. Because they need such immense quantities of oxygen to enable them to fly to heights that would make people altitude sick, their anatomy allows them to get a dose of oxygen when they inhale and another when they exhale by holding air in extra sacs, which we've talked about these air sacs in birds, in divers, for sure, relative to mice or other easily transportable animals that could have been carried in by the miners. They get a double dose of air and any poisons the air might contain, so miners would get an earlier warning. So canaries were used. They die. Yeah. So if a mining company was exploring a mine for the first time or was unsure about the safety of a place, a canary would be put in first. And if the bird was brought back up and it survived, it was probably safe for them to continue their mining. And if not, if the bird was dead, it was a pretty clear sign that it wasn't safe. And either they needed to, I don't know, what did they do? How do they problem solve that if there's carbon monoxide? I don't know. But this idea that there is a sacrifice of this bird for the work, for the man, for the miners, for the next step to take place. I don't know.
I love the idea of that sacrifice and of Joanna having potentially gendered that sacrifice here. She's referring to Maggie as a canary throughout this song. And so I don't know exactly how yet, but like Maggie seems to have been put – like sacrificed in a way, in the same way that these canaries in the coal mines are. But yeah, I think that I have work to do to still figure out exactly how that goes, or like what sacrifice exactly, what that amounts to exactly. But yeah, so cool. And okay, here, I don't know if this is the right time to do this or not, but if you don't mind humoring me, Sam, here is my like very again, tentative take of what happens in the song, just based on my like sifting through the lyrics this morning. So I think that what we get is, Lola has some theories. So my very basic tentative understanding of what's going on here is that she sets the stage. They're in a mining community. There's the narrator and Maggie, and women are discriminated against. It's the 1800s. And so she like really wants a claim to the land, I think, like a deed to the mine. There's this like other part that is so cool, I think, that I don't know, somewhere down here, I don't exactly know what's happening, so bear with me, but I'll just read another little verse. So, and I had a plan, but they had to sign away my mine. And the deed left us free to scrape and bleed and go to seed and never marry. Not canary, 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 canary. And so my interpretation of that there is that, like, look, we had this mine and, like, we could, like, we eventually got hold of this mine and we could, we were then free to not have to rely on a man. Like, we don't have to marry for the sake of being financially okay. We're now free, financially free at least, to, like, be. And we can scrape and bleed and, like, do our own work. Go to seed, as I had to look that up, but, like, go to seed means to, like, it's when the flower bloom falls from a plant and it is about to, like, drop seeds. And so it, like, is taken idiomatically to mean, like, when someone's, like, past the point of being beautiful and starting to decay. So I love that she's referring to, like, that in the context of freedom. Like, finally we're free from having to worry about, like, our appearances. We can toil for ourselves and never marry. Okay, but then something happens. I'm not totally clear what it, I don't know. But I think that then Maggie gets murdered. Our narrator finds Maggie on a shore and is like, oh my God, I need to go talk to the owners of this mine. And she shows up at the foreman's door and she tells him that Maggie has died, and he laughs at her and, like, that's it. Like, our narrator will not abide this laughing. And so in my favorite verse of the whole song, at least so far, she says something like, so alas, there was savagery there, left a hole in his heart you could roll a cabbage in. And then there's this, I got this theory from one of the comments on Google Docs, but I think it's then a conversation between the narrator and Maggie, like the ghost of Maggie, because she says, I left a hole in his heart you could roll a cabbage in. And I think that Maggie says, a cabbage. And then our narrator, in this delightfully delivered line, says, oh, no, no, just a little one, Maggie, just a little one. Like, just a little hole, Maggie, that I made in his heart.
It makes me think of those old shotguns that, like, when they shoot, it's like a huge crater that's left behind. But why a cabbage? So I'm just enjoying this because I haven't spent very much time with this. And hearing you tell me this story, I'm like, wow.
Okay, good. I stop me if you don't want me to keep going, because, like, I am totally fine not. But, like, if you're cool with me keeping going, then I'm down, because I've also just, like, as of today, come across this understanding. But it's totally up to you. If you want me to stop, that's fine.
It doesn't spoil anything for me.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay, yay. Okay, because I love it too so much. Like, I'm just so into it. So, when she says just a little one, though, I freak out. But so then this makes me think. This verse here starts to make me question how reliable our narrator is, because she references hearing something from Maggie, who we know is dead, who she found by a lakeside. And so it makes me question, is Joanna just assuming a supernatural metaphysics here, and, like, we should believe that actually the narrator is in fact talking to the ghost? Or has our narrator maybe gone a little bit delusional? Gotten a little bit delusional?
Anytime we have that repetition, so we have canary, 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 we have arrogant, we have arrogant, 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 and arrogant, 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 arrogant. That gives me such ghostly vibes.
Yes, yes, totally. That, like, the whisper. The whisper, too. Yeah.
Third person whisper.
Definite spooky vibes. Also, by the way, I did not realize she was saying, no, I thought she was just saying canary, canary, canary the whole time. When I realized it was also arrogant, 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 and arrogant, 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 I lost my mind. That is so fucking cool. Okay, so also, like, that Maggie is like a cabbage, and she has to be like, no, no, Maggie, just a little cabbage. I just made a little cabbage-sized hole in his body.
A cabbage in his heart. Cabbage. Oh no.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And, like, the way she says it, it's like, oh no, no, just a little one, Maggie, just a little one. Like, it's so, I love also the introduction of our talk singing that Joanna gives us with several songs here. She, like, is incorporated talk singing into her repertoire.
Yes, and that is what blew my mind initially about this song, is how many narrators are happening here. So we've defined narrators in the past as based in the grammar right? So we've talked a lot about if things are in brackets or quotations or if they're capitalized. And I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, we haven't talked so much about how it's sung.
Yeah.
So is this like a new presentation of different narrators?
I don't know. And then, So then what I think happens, I think is a great question. I have no idea how to answer it. Narrator fuckery, I think, is for sure happening there, just even based on that one, the verse that we just read. Okay. And then what I think what happens after that is she's like, oh shit, I just killed this guy. And she's like, I am never done. Like, maybe that repetition too, again, indicates some sort of like mental instability. I'm not sure. Or just maybe tenacity. I don't know. Maybe she's just had enough. But then she like seems to start planning some sort of violent strike. So she like goes inside. She needs to like plan this attack of some sort. She calls it a strike. And then in another haunting line, she said, like, I, it's hard to understand stuff that comes before this line, so I can't really give it context. But one of the lines seems to be a noose on a live oak tree bent over the saloon tent, then meant for me and Maggie. So she's referring to the fact that there's a noose waiting for her. I don't know if it's because she killed the guy. I don't know if it's because maybe
that's
they're
what
gay.
I would assume.
Yeah, okay. And so then this, another verse I just need to read because it's so beautiful. Although it wasn't him, it could have been him. So that makes me think she shot the wrong guy. And she's like, okay, it wasn't the guy who killed Maggie, but like it could have been him because men. So the actual line is, although it wasn't him, it could have been him, or anyone would have done what I know so many men intended when they came or went. So arrogant.
So, like, we are killing the general arrogant man.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really matter who I shot, who I left with a cabbage-sized hole in their heart.
Exactly.
I'm justified because all of them are
exactly.
So arrogant.
I think so. Okay, and then
yeah, Lowell thinks so, too.
Yeah, Lola thinks so, too. Then I'm not totally clear what happens. I think she hears from Maggie's ghost, I think, that it was actually this pastor, this, like, father, but, like, father with a capital F, like a pastor who spat and evangelized. So I think that she figures out, okay, it was the wrong man, and Maggie either tells her or she, like, hallucinates that Maggie tells her that it's this father. So then my interpretation is that she somehow tosses the pastor down into the mine shaft with a thing of dynamite and blows him up, I think. And then that's as much as I can say. I don't know.
I love this line. He was the last and the worst.
Yes.
It makes me think so much of the song we just covered in Divers when we're talking about you don't know my name. I loved you first. Did you love me best? All of that. But this guy, he was both the last and the worst.
Totally. Yeah. The last what? I don't know. The last man to hurt you, maybe? I'm not sure. Okay, baby. Fais-tu du lait? Okay. Yeah, and there's just such beautiful lines. I mean, this is so typical of a Joanna song, but, like, there are just such gorgeous lines throughout. And, like, the way she's able to, like, connect this, like, historical mining tale to, like, real emotion and, like, really relatable emotion is just so beautifully impressive. And, God, she's just back in full form, I feel like, with this song.
And this line, canary always falls first, kills me too. So what does that mean, Nikki?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a great... So she's calling Maggie canary. So I think that she's trying to say, like, Maggie was a harbinger for something bad to come. And so, like, Maggie was sacrificed by, like, detecting that there were poisonous gases there. So, like, maybe the thought was that, like, I don't know, this community, this town, this mining town was never actually going to be safe for us. Like, we came here for a refuge and, like, to be able mm-hmm. to work and toil on our own terms. But, like, actually, there's a poison there. And, like, Maggie detected the poison in the culture or something.
Or is it a religious thing? Because the last and the worst is the father, right? So yeah. Is it like Maggie was able to see the evil in that somehow?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Because there's also some religious term. Well, I don't want to say religious terminology in here, but there's talk of cherubim, which I just mm-hmm. realized is the plural of cherub. I would have just said cherubs, but apparently the plural is cherubim. And cherubim were, they're angels that in the Bible guard the Garden of Eden after the fall, and in general serve as God's messengers. And so we have another, there's this part that reminds me of Emily in here where, the line I'm referring to is something like, in the spring of that year when the tinker was here, gals would hire him to mend their tin. I heard him swarm from afar like a storm in a jar, like a choir of cherubim. And I get very much Emily vibes of like, not knowing how the common folk condemn, but like when the people are all chattering, when she like says, amen, amen, amen. Emily throws the windows wide and cries, amen, amen, amen. The whole world stopped to hear you hollering. Mm-hmm. And like, they're just like, there's like this like town gossip against the narrator. There's like this pitting of everybody else who like, whose gossip can be really harmful and sort of scary and menacing. I don't know. That's the vibe I got there. But sorry, I was going to say the other religious word is potentially hymn, H-Y-M-N. Mm-hmm. Which also might be intentionally like polyphonous with H-I-M. And so like mm-hmm. connecting masculinity with religion potentially.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? Gonna look. Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to look at our Instagram DMs because we have a few of those.
Okay.
Okay, so this is coming from Rachel. Rachel says, thank you for sending a long form note to my response to my story, Rachel. I love it. Rachel says, love that you can hear canary, 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 even in the parts when she's not saying it, like the arrogant, arrogant, arrogant part. It almost sounds like linguistically the word canary is a literal ghost. I love that. I'm so there with you, Rachel. Interesting at the part of the end where she holds out the word breathe, and those two elongated musical phrases are the most melasmic phrases, and she pushes them out as she's almost out of air. Is that when she's saying, let me breathe?
Oh.
Breathe for my canary, let me breathe. Yeah. Breathe for my canary, 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 canary. That part breaks my heart too. I haven't had enough time to think of it, but the idea, let me breathe for my canary, is like a self-sacrificial thing too, right? Like, I will take, at least in my mind, I will take that breath for you so you don't have to be sacrificed. And I'm assuming it's whoever the narrator is wanting to take that breath instead of Maggie.
In my mind, it was like, yeah, so fucking sad. It was like the narrator being like, look, Maggie, you're dead and can't breathe anymore. So like, let me be the one that gets to breathe for the both of us, which is just.
Also love that let me toil in that mind section is up an octave from where the musical part usually falls, making it seem fragile musically, though lyrically it's all about difficult and rugged stuff.
Yes. Oh my God. I loved that part too. Wait, where is that part?
Let me join in that line. Let me toil in that mind. Let me find what is hiding there. Let me dig where I durst, maybe. Let me drink when I thirst. Let me breathe the peril air. How did you guys figure this out? This is amazing.
It's incredible. It really is incredible. But yes, I love that part too. It like adds this like urgency and just this crescendo of emotion to it. another of my favorite lines from this, just looking it over now, is something like when she like finds Maggie dead on the shore and she says something like, I want to revive. She was never alive, but by the grace and the will and the wheel and the yen and the wickedness of men.
Okay, what else do we want to say about the Aragon?
That it slaps.
It does. I'm just like mind blown that these lyrics exist. Is there anything up on do you want to know some lyrics yet? Probably not. No.
I'd say no. I'm going to check Genius. Oh, there are things up on Genius. Also, what a sad line in the first verse. And like the moon in the lake, you are not there. My poor canary. That's so sad.
But why is the moon not there?
Because I think that like when you're looking at a lake and you see the moon in the lake, the moon isn't actually there in the lake. It's just a reflection.
Oh, but that's a ghost thing then, right?
Maybe. Because she's seeing something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love this line here too, veins of gold. Only because in that article from 1922 or whatever I read described one of the mine shafts as a vein. And so to think of the shafts as they go down deeper into the mine as veins or arteries connecting to the life outside is a really cool analogy.
Totally. And now that you make that connection, actually, there's this like maybe also, I mean, maybe I'm just too in the weeds in divers right now and like waltzy themes, but like, you know, when we recorded on waltz, we talked about the like masculine coded exploring and colonizing and sort of like pillaging and war starting, that there's something maybe similar here happening, even though the women in this song I think want to be engaged in mining. But we get this picture of like this male-dominated field of plundering the land, right? Of like just, especially if we're going to think about, you know, the lines of gold or minerals or whatever in the land as veins, there's this like grotesqueness to that too then of these humans just like being so destructive and like plundering the earth for like stuff that we've decided is valuable, like gold and shit that and like greed too, this like greed fueled endeavor. I don't know. All right, is that it for now? Do we stop?
I wish I had more to say, but I also think it's okay that we don't. We would love as always to hear from you. I would love some official lyrics. I would love an album announcement.
Yeah, when do you think that's going to happen? I know this is like, asking you to just talk right out of your ass, but like, when do you think? Like, is it going to be years or is it going to be like weeks or like months?
Tomorrow.
Sam thinks tomorrow. Okay. My bet is
March 30th.
Yeah, my bet is going to be longer as much as I don't want to say that.
Yes, I know. I'm just lolling.
Like months is my guess. Closer to a year.
I don't remember. Someone else said on some board somewhere that it was like more than a year from when she first played songs on Divers until the album was announced.
Oh, so. Dude, I think it was like three. I think it was like 3 years from.
Oh, okay.
But I'm hoping. But she said at the concert though that she has 11 songs. So like I know that when she was first playing, I think so. At least that's what people were saying.
I also thought I saw someone say like, did she say that or did she say like I've been working on new songs?
Oh.
And someone just reported it as 11. If 11 songs exist, that's we're probably closer than further. But
oh my god, if 11 songs don't exist, I didn't see the post where someone was questioning that transcription.
There's so many posts happening.
Yeah, there are. But if she doesn't have more than the 5, then I think it might be years. Oh god. Okay. Well, anyways. This is what we know so far. Thanks for bearing with us if you did. And if you didn't, if you're not here, we get that too. Although I'm not sure who I'm addressing, given that you're not here.
Did we do where you can find us?
No.
You know where to find us.
You can find us on, We have a Patreon, a Hopeless Endeavor. No, patreon.com/ahopelessendeavor. We have a Facebook group, Hopeless Endeavor, joining us in podcast. We have an email, hopelessendeavor@gmail.com. We have an Instagram that Sam does a delightful job running. It is
A Hopeless Endeavor Podcast. You're welcome to send us DMs there. But we also love voice memos and emails.
Yeah.
If you have lots of things to say, but if you're just like, holy shit, I have an idea,
then holy shit,
feel free to shoot us a message there. Thank you so much to anyone who shared pictures or recordings or live streamed from the show.
Gave updates.
It was so incredibly special to be able to be present at least on your little phone screen during the live stream and share in some of that especially palpable excitement. And everyone who's working on this Google Doc and on Genius to figure out these lyrics like some kind of fever dream. Thank you. It's so fun.
Thank you for sure.
And I guess we'll be back next week
with same old man.
With same old man.
Sorry, I don't know, guys. Sound in as to what you want us to do. How do you want us to proceed? Do we go to same old man next? Like, what do we do? Just let us.
Well, we can't leave him out in the rain.
No, we can't leave same old man.
Poor
old man. He's fragile.
But yeah, let us know if you're like, never talk about divers again. We probably won't do that. But if you like, keep talking about these songs, we can try.
Yeah.
I don't know what we'll say, but we can try.
We'll see how it goes. Okay, bye.